It's Science and Technology Week at Illinois State University, and tomorrow evening, Emily Calandrelli will give the event's keynote address. Calandrelli is an MIT-trained aerospace engineer who interned with NASA. But a decade ago, she made a giant leap from studying space to sharing her passion for science with others. Calandrelli has worked with Bill Nye, the science guy, and hosts the Emmy-nominated show Exploration Outer Space. She's also an author and the host of Netflix Junior's Emily's Wonder Lab. In a conversation with WGLT's Lauren Wernicke, Calandrelli talks about being a woman in STEM and getting into television by accident.
It just kind of happened. So when I was graduating from MIT, I got a call from a production company that was like, we're developing this new educational space show. We want a space expert to be the host. Would you like to host this new TV show? And at first I was like, me? Like, what? Why would you? They had found some videos of me talking about science and space to different communities, to different kids, because I had done a lot of outreach throughout my educational career. And they found that I could talk about this stuff in a way that people who didn't have a background in aerospace engineering could understand it. And so that's how they found me. I thought that sounded like an adventure. I said yes. That was a decade ago. And so my career has just sort of snowballed ever since.
Going to MIT, and also I think you interned or worked with NASA at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, how was that? and particularly, I mean, I know it's tricky having to constantly be like, this is my experience as a woman. But, you know, being in science, it being such a predominantly male industry, how was that for you? How did you fit in? Did you find people that you could relate to?
Right. It was a little weird at first, because when I was an undergrad, I would be one of two, sometimes three women in a 50-person class filled with guys. And that was super intimidating, because engineering on its own is intimidating because everybody knows it as, like, quote, one of the hard majors. And
right.
So for somebody who that didn't come naturally to, I was already a little bit intimidated. And then you walk into a room where you don't see anybody that looks like you, that feels even more intimidating. And so I think you just sort of develop these coping mechanisms. Mine was basically to, like, find a way to work by myself on so many things, which allowed me to better understand a lot of these concepts, because working in teams and groups proved to be really helpful for certain things. But for me, for somebody who didn't have a lot of confidence in myself in science and engineering, learning how to solve these problems on my own at first, at least, was a really crucial step for me to be able to develop the confidence in myself that I needed to be able to thrive in this field.
What initially drew you to engineering? Because you had to have had a marginal degree of confidence to go for that in the first place, right?
Right, exactly. So for me, my incentives to go into STEM, to go into engineering, are a little bit different than some of my classmates, because the people that I met, especially at MIT, they always had these stories of parents who knew all about science and engineering, parents who were PhDs, who were scientists and engineers themselves. And I am the first person in my family to pursue a degree in STEM. I didn't know anybody that had a STEM degree. Most of my extended family didn't go to college. Many of them didn't graduate high school. And so for me to pursue science was very out of the norm. And I did it because my dad grew up in poverty and he worked his way to bring my family to middle class. And I had that legacy in the back of my mind of like working really hard to better your situation. And so for me, I was really interested in the money that engineering job could provide. I Googled all the majors that one could major in college, and I looked at their starting salaries, and I found that engineers made the most money. And so I didn't go into it thinking, like, I'm going to love it. I went into it thinking, this is going to be really hard, but I'm going to get a good job and it's going to be worth it. And then I fell into this career that I absolutely adored, because along the way, I found all of these little surprises.
It's shocking to me that this is a 21st century story and you're still one of the only girls in the room. So, yeah. You know, how were you able to maybe turn those differences into advantages?
Yeah, I think especially when it comes to STEM and academia, you'll find that a lot of the people that go to these quote unquote elite colleges come from elite backgrounds. And a lot of those are usually from like the coasts. Anytime anybody has a unique perspective, that is going to be valuable in terms of innovation. And so for me, when I come from Appalachia, I come from a region of the country that is very unique. I come from whole country. When we're talking about science and the science of climate change, which is just how it works fundamentally, that's something different than the policy of affecting the climate, of preventing climate change, because the policy piece, that includes humans, and it becomes so much more complex, right? Because you can educate people all you want on how the science of climate change works, but to actually change their behavior, you have to understand the incentives of those humans. You have to understand where they're coming from, the problems that they personally experience, and how to incentivize them to perhaps change their behavior. And so when you have an insight into those humans' lives, those communities' lives, that can be invaluable.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Lauren Warnicke. My conversation with aerospace engineer Emily Calandrelli continues with how she translates rigorous science into a fun and engaging television show for kids.
3, 2, 1! Emily's Wonderland.
Stay curious and keep exploring. Emily's Wonderland. Where did you develop the passion for getting out of the academy, right? And not simply being in your kind of science bubble, but really trying to engage everybody else with, rigorous scientific information.
Right. Well, I think it all stems back from where I come from and how I became interested in all of this. Because I mentioned before, like, this didn't come naturally. I consider myself somebody who doesn't really have a background in all of this sort of stuff, even though I've studied it now for many, many years. But like my childhood, I didn't have a natural inclination to understand these sorts of things. And so today, when I find something like, ooh, wait, that's kind of cool. Like, oh, wait, it works like that. I'm always like, let's tap into that, because I bet other people who have a similar background and a similar mindset will find this interesting too. I don't kind of filter my excitement.
Y'all ready to walk on some eggs?
Yeah!
We don't need electricity, gas, matches. All we need is the power of the sun.
I feel like a mad scientist.
Because I think with science times historically, we find it to be maybe like childish to like show our excitement. It feels almost like you are smarter if you don't find it impressive, like if you don't find the way something works impressive. And what I've learned to do is not shield my humanity, not shield or filter my excitement from something. I just kind of let it shine through. Sometimes I think if we find ourselves excited by something, we don't want to show that off, because then that would reveal that we didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that it was going to act like that, which means that we didn't know everything. And to not know everything as someone who's a scientist or an engineer, like, oh my gosh, like, were you not properly trained? How did you not know that? How did you not expect that? So for me, I'm like, yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't expect it. It's joyful. It's exciting to me. And I don't shield my excitement away from the camera.
Emily Calandrelli speaks Tuesday evening at 7 in the Brown Ballroom at the Bone Student Center. The talk is free and open to the public. I'm Lauren Warnicke.
And at the tail end of Women's History Month, ISU Science and Technology Week concludes Friday with the Women in Leadership Conference. That day concludes with a panel of women working in male-dominated scientific and technical fields.